to be there, to be with family that I've never met before. It was a really humbling experience. When I heard I was going to go 3 days before my flight left, I was like, oh, cool, okay, what can I do to help these people? What can I teach them? And the first day that we were there, we went to a trash dump. Stunk, you know, flies, everything. I got there, got out of the van, and all these people were so happy to see me, and of course, the rest of the team. And they just came, they started hugging us and saying welcome. And it was already right then, I was so humbling. Like, these people have absolutely nothing compared to Western standards. But they were so happy just to see us. And throughout the experience, we were there, we went to some schools, we went to prison, and all the people were so happy, so positive. It's like, wow, it's amazing. When I walk here through the city, people have a long face, you know, there's so much Western things that we're like, oh, you know, life is so hard, which at times it is. But yet these people can still be happy. We went to a school, a really poor school, and when we were leaving, all the kids were saying goodbye. Normally it took like 5 minutes because they would all grab onto us and not let us go. And some of the kids were like, next time you come back, can you bring something for me? I was like, you know, what would you like? Like, we would love to have a ball to play with. Just a normal football, which you could buy here for, what, €2? And like, I was just like, wow. When you go to a Western school, you ask for, hey, what can we give you guys? They're like, oh, we need like an iPhone, we need new computers, we need all these Western things, you know, to be able to make themselves happy. But there was just the thought of us being there, that was really enough. It was really touching to me, and I hope that this coming year I'll be able to be more involved in the Kenyan project. I'm going to help Pastor Matt to raise funds for next year and hopefully organize that. It's going to be really exciting, and I think Pastor Matthew and I were thinking that next year when we go again, we'll have a group of, instead of 7-8 people, we'll have a group of 25, maybe. But then not just, and that's just the 25 people going, and hopefully next year, there'll be, everyone in the church will be helping one way, either through prayer, through giving gifts that we can bring to them. Secondhand clothing gets very far. I know one of the people that went brought like 2 bags of stuff that they just left there. That was maybe old clothes that we'd be like, oh, you know, I can't wear this anymore, I'm going to throw it away. And they're like, awesome, can I have it? See, that was just a really, it was just a really amazing time for me. I didn't exactly know what to expect, but after going, I was really happy I went. There's just such a presence of the Holy Spirit there that sometimes you lose track of in the Western world because time goes so fast. There, you know, you just live for the moment and you live in the moment, and it's absolutely amazing, so... that's just what I want to share, and hopefully some more people can go next year. Asante.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Stephen, and it was really, really fun to go on this Kenya mission trip. As you'll see, there'll be videos in the background. I was supposed to talk a bit about something that was surprising to me in Kenya, something that was meaningful and something that I wanted to change, or that I felt like should be changed there. And so we did a lot of things. We went to schools, we went to churches, and we went to dump sites, we went to prisons, just speaking God's word, doing some drama, doing some praying. It was really, really a good time. And for me, one of the surprising things is that Kenya is 80% Christian, or at least 80% of the people identify themselves as Christians, and yet there are still so many churches and so many churches growing and so many new churches being planted. Pretty much, it seems like almost every week there's a new church somewhere being planted, because we were traveling with a pastor and he had, I don't know, about 15 churches under him or something like that. He was the bishop of 15 churches, which means that he made trips to these different churches to see how things were going. And for me, that was really surprising that... And quite funny that you have one town and maybe a circumference of about, okay, an hour's drive around the town, and yet you have so many churches belonging to the same kind of name around in the same city, which is kind of surprising because we have one church here called Damascus Road and not like this is the main church and then 5 other churches in Maastricht called Damascus Road. But that was the case there. So that was quite funny. And the reason was, and I spoke to one of the pastors, I said, why do you guys have so many churches like in one city? And one of the guys was like, well, the Africans tend to think about their journey back home in church. So if they have a long journey to take, they're going to be thinking about it a long time and thinking about, okay, it's going to be a waste of time walking back, and it's a waste of time to walk there because, of course, they do everything on foot. That's the reason why within a very small area you can find so many churches. But for me, that was something that was very cool because it got me an insight onto how a church grows. You had a big church with about 80 people, and you had a small church, their newest church, which was only 2 months old, which we also visited, and that had about 6 people there. In fact, when we got there, there was just a pastor, and we were already half an hour late, and we were supposed to share something. Everybody had prepared something. We're like, okay, we're going to start blessing the pastor then. So we started doing that, and then more and more people came in. And after a while, it was a small room, and then about 8 people, and we just sang some songs and did some worship time together. And for me, that was really cool because my parents are church planters, so it was a really nice insight onto, okay, this is what a small church looks like, this is what a medium church looks like, this is what their main church looks like, and just to see kind of like a cross-section of how it grows. And what was particularly meaningful was that there's so many pastors there who really take up the responsibility and the tricky work to start up a church and just go venture to some new building and start a church like that. And that was something that was really an example to me and really meaningful to see the pastors doing that. And then something that I guess I'm passionate about to change or to see more of is actually quite unrelated to what I was first talking about, which is the churches, but it's the education system. Even though, like, the education is great, it's okay. Like, there are schools around, and some of them are better than others. But a lot of children don't get the chance to go to school because it's quite you have to pay for the uniforms to get in, so it's quite expensive. So some people end up without education. And I think that once you teach people about just general things, then you'll see a lot more progress in the country as to like infrastructure and general living standards. So one of the verses that I had, it kind of fits to my first two things. It's from 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, and it says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public speaking of Scripture." So this is especially about the pastors. It's kind of like an encouragement to them, even though I'm standing here. "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have." And there's just something that really, to me, was quite inspiring was the pastors there. And this is something I wanted to share about them.
Buenas si fiwe. This means praise the Lord in Swahili, and this is how we started all of our talks in Kenya. So let me try again. Buena sifiwe.
Amen.
Buena sifiwe.
Amen.
Okay, this was our Kenyan lifestyle there. It's really interesting. I would like to share a short message about unity that became very clear to me during my time in Kenya. And I would like to start with 2 Bible verses from John 17. And that was when Jesus was praying for his disciples before he went to the cross. So, he was praying, asking God to keep them safe and help them share his message. And he said to God, "I pray not only for them," so for his disciples, "but also for those who believe in me because of their message. I pray that they may all be one, Father. May they be in us just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be one so that the world will believe that you sent me." And, during my time in Kenya, I think I felt what this means to me. With being one, it wasn't only meant, like, just us as a team being one, but also us being together with the Kenyan people being one. With the Christians in Kenya, we should all be one so that other people can see through us that we belong to Jesus. And being one means a lot of time supporting each other. So for us here in Maastricht, it can mean that we support them by, for example, going there, getting to know them, maybe supporting them with school fees or food. But for them, it also means welcoming us, showing them how they live, and also praying for us. So they're actually also supporting us at the moment. And I really saw that if we work together with them as one, a lot of people will see God through it. And one of my favorite moments in Kenya was after a really, really long day. We had a lot of appointments at schools and we're speaking the whole time. I was really tired. We just had one last appointment at a church. And we were driving a really long way, very far away from everything, and still had to all talk and encourage the church. And I thought, oh, I actually rather want to go to sleep. But then when I was there and we were singing worship songs in Swahili, like the ones we sang before, I just felt God's presence so strongly. And he was really happy that we were all together. And what I felt that God was saying to me was the fact that you're all together, you Germans, Americans, British people, Dutch people, and Kenyans, it's nice to hear you worship me with just one voice. And that's really what I took away from that. For you, it's an encouragement because you can know that you have brothers and sisters really all around the world. We're all supposed to share God's love with everyone, so we're all in one team. And I hope you know that, be encouraged by that. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Michael. I was in Kenya as well, but I'm happy to be here with you again. So Kenya was really nice. One of the most memorable moments for me was when we went to the boarding school, where we met 33 students who we talked to. So what's so special about those 33 students? There were many more. But those 33 students, they're special because a few months ago, they lived at the dump site. And now they're at the boarding school, and they only got to go to the boarding school because of the donations we gave at Damascus Road. So with these donations, we paid for their school fees, for the uniforms, and so on. So now they can go to school just because of the donations, and I think that was great. In the beginning, they showed us around. They showed us the facility. We saw a soccer field. They could do a lot of sports and so on. We saw where they slept. So they slept in bunk beds, three beds on top of each other. But it was good. The roof wasn't leaking or anything. So they're in a clean and safe environment. It was funny that we saw also their schedule in the sleeping area. And we knew that they get to bed, like Kenyans go to bed really late. So we thought at least they can sleep a little bit longer in the morning. But we saw that they had to get up from Monday till Friday, they had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. It's really, really early. But at least on the weekends, they can sleep in. They can sleep until 6 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. What's also amazing was to see that they had a science lab with taps. So they had water on each station. So for them, it's probably something very special coming from a dump site. But water is really precious. If it wasn't for Pastor Ken buying the water for them in a big container, they would have no water at all at the dump site, only rainwater. And now they have water at every station in the science lab. So for them, it's really a significant change. So what I would like to see is that when we go back next year with more people, that we see more than 33 students, that we see many more. So I'd like to encourage us all to give a lot of donations and organize events, doing fundraising stuff and so on, so that we can provide more people, so we can afford more students coming from the dump site going to the boarding school. Because, I think money is often very overrated, but in this case it actually has a very good, positive, significant impact. So, so I'd like us to give more donations. I think God will multiply it. And it was great to see all these children at the boarding school. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. So I was also in Kenya with my son David, who turned one in Kenya. And for me, one of the most surprising or funny moments was when we were in the women's prison. That was one of the most special moments for me as well. I was sitting with David, and I was sitting closest to all the women. There are about 300 women and, I'm going to guess, at least 50 children in that building. And David was being squirmy and didn't, want to stay sitting still. So one of the ladies who was in prison said, "Can I hold him?" And I thought, why not? You know, I don't have any other options for keeping him happy. So what she did is she took David and then she held him up. And then all the 300 women and children were all cheering at David. And it was just really awesome. And actually, the cool thing about that was that the church here had been praying, and it's an encouragement for you too. And the night before, I'd read an email where someone had sent me this encouragement where they felt like God told me that I was going to speak to women and that the way for me to connect with them was through being a mom. So when this happened, and I don't know, like they just saw that I was a mother too, and I'm just a normal person just like them. So that was just really meaningful to me, and it really helped me to connect to them, and I just really realized, like, we're all the same. You know, I'm just a woman and a mom just like them. And one of the most meaningful moments was also in the women's prison because I had the honor to speak there. And something I've been thinking about is how we're just born into this already broken life. Even my own son has a kidney disease. And yesterday I was talking to a friend whose daughter has hearing problems and has hearing aids. And the fact just is that we're just born into this life with so much pain and brokenness. And the same is true in this women's prison. Where these women, I mean, they're in prison, and they have such hardship and such suffering. But there is also such joy there, such joy of the Lord. And something that I really find very significant and very meaningful is that the Bible says in Psalm 34 that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I found this to be so true in that women's prison and in other places in Kenya and also in my life and in the Netherlands. And something that I just find so awesome about God is that he actually chooses to be part of our brokenness. And that even though he's powerful and almighty and, you know, all that he is, he just chooses to, come next to us in our brokenness. And so that's something that, for me personally, that I take away going from Kenya. And I think God, this God who chooses to be part of us in our brokenness, this is the God that I want to follow. And this is the God that I want to be more like. This God who is powerful and almighty, who chooses to be with us in our brokenness, I want to be more like him. So, that's me.
Bwana sifiwe.
Amen.
Bwana sifiwe tena.
Amen.
I'm glad to be back. Here, the Netherlands is home for me, and Kenya is home for me. So it's always a turn between. I told my mom I said I'm glad to be back home, and then AYUP said, "Oh, that's the same thing you must have said when you went home 5 weeks ago." But home is, I think where you feel at home, right? Where you feel the love. And something that amazed me was, something that amazed me was the unity, like what Sarah mentioned, and just the hard work. I mean, like going to the dump site school, Kenyans are hard workers, that's for sure. But given the circumstance they were in, if I was a teacher in the dump site and there's no salary coming in, and even the pastors, nobody's coming in the service, and you're just alone, I mean, I would give up. But these guys they were not pretending, because I have a way of knowing if the people are pretending, especially when they see white people. But these teachers were just, you know, they were hard workers. And that just, caught me. I was just so impressed. And my prayer was just like, oh, I just wish that, you know, that something may happen and these people may be, you know, blessed financially so that they can have motivation to come. So that was really surprising for me, that even without money, even... They wanted €100 a month, but the pastor sometimes gives them, I have €10 this month. And they just kept on coming. And even some of them were saying that now in the other school, the peacemakers, that I just love these children. And Stephen was given a chance to teach them. And then they just said, I'm going to the Netherlands with these guys. They're like, no, don't go. I mean, you have a white teacher, but they still wanted their teacher. So for the teacher to say they love the children is one thing, but for the students to say they love her back, that was really good, especially when their salaries are so less. And just something out of the blue still amazes me, the hospitality they show. Like, it's so incredible. Like, just the love. They have nothing. We went to the IDP camps, and this lady Mary said, "Oh, come on in, come in my house." Yeah, and you come in. She has four children, and one who is 9 months, and a husband. So the four are teenagers, and the 9-month-old, and there's only a plank of wood that has been raised as a bed. So it's, yeah, I think our bathroom is bigger. The ladies' bathroom, yeah, it's bigger than what we were in, those shacks we saw. And she was welcoming me in very joyfully, and I just remembered how I am. Yeah, I have an obsession with cleaning and wanting to make things in order. So whether there's someone coming in or whether it's just me at home, and my husband is always like, "Oh, are we expecting someone?" I'm like, "No, we're just cleaning." So for this lady to invite me just abruptly, it really caught me. I was like, wow. Like, she made no preparation. She just, you know, welcomed me in. And that's how God wants us to do. Not just to, not to pretend the way, what we want to be, or just, you know, let's just call him the way we want, or just have friendships the way you want. So for me, I was really touched how they're welcoming, and they want to give you everything, even when they don't have. And something I want to see that is changes, apart from the children going to school, is the women. Because back home, I mean, the guys take priority in everything, but I want to see more women given opportunities to stand for their families, because they are the backbones of their family. Because if the mom is not well, or is not cooking, then the child will not go to school. If the mom is not washing, you know, all these things. So, and just to thank you guys, like, really thank you for praying for us. And I say us because I'm so close to these people. And just to go back home, and the way we started the church was so, I mean, we were in a small room, very small, like the toilet. And now I get to go back, and the pastor, we're all given VIP treatments. Someone is welcoming, carrying me my Bible, giving me a glass of water. I'm like, wow, we even have bottled water now in this church. So that is just from prayers and for what you guys are doing. I mean, if it's just the 50 cents lying on your drawer, that can feed a family. I mean, praying for them, even just the prayer, if you can't give financially, the prayer is enough. Like what Christine said, reading your emails and all the meetings you had from praying for them. They also pray for everybody, Damascus Road, the team from Netherlands and the church. So just keep on what you're doing, because you're making a great change in people's life. And I'm honored to be, yeah, the medium between Kenya and Holland. So thank you, guys.
Since we have more time, I mean, Nelly already shared and I shared. I just wanted to say thank you again to the whole church for praying for us. We received emails, and there are various people that had written letters for us that we took along. And then we just opened them on certain days when we were on the trip. And it was just really amazing to see how specific God was speaking to all the people. Because people would have specific encouragements. They'd be like, "Michael, this Bible verse is for you. And I feel like, you know, there's this picture or this encouragement for you." And I think I can honestly say that every person on the team received a very specific word from the Lord that was very encouraging. So I just want to say thank you to the whole church for praying for us. And it's something that feels like it's unseen, but I think we definitely felt the effect of your prayers. And so we just really want to thank you for that.
Applause for you.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to the pastor and the people there that they keep inviting us back. This is now our third time there, and they keep saying, "Come again, please come again, please come again." There are so many stories from 10 days of our lives to be able to share, so I asked them all to keep it short, and we have. There's so much more that could be said, because it is changing people's lives, changing families. All that is truly changing people's future in this time that we are on earth, as well as for eternity. Almost everywhere we went, when we said, "Is there anyone who would like to accept Jesus and be born again?" there are hands that went up pretty much every time. There are people who are hungry for hope and are hungry for someone to care about them and the chance to just play with kids. There's one place where a child walked up to me from the first moment we walked in until about 6 hours later. He didn't want to leave my side. the whole time. It was, I want to touch him, and I want to feel the hair on his arm. That was so strange. And I just want to sit on his lap when he's sitting down. I remember dancing, I'm dancing next to him. And for a child to have someone from a long way away just spend time, that can be incredibly meaningful. The more people we have to do that, the more children can have laps, because you saw there's can be hundreds of kids, and I only have so many legs for them to sit on. So there's only so many limbs when you have two on your arms, two on your legs. There's just not so many other places. So that was a blessing and continues to be a blessing for us. So thanks, guys. Yeah. Also, honestly, they deserve a round of applause. I, as a leader, was so glad to have each person on this team, and the two that aren't here as well. They did incredible and surprised me with their maturity at times. The way that they loved one another, and I just said, God, I'm so grateful for the people who were on this trip and for the team members that we had, because of how much unity they did have with each other and how much love that they had for one another.